All right. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a good day today, and I want to let you know that me and my wife miss y'all, and I'm looking forward to seeing y'all back at church when we can have church, so all together, I guess I should say. But I am glad that you have chosen to tune in and to listen this morning. And you go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to be looking at verses 29 through 34. We're going to do what we normally do, is continue to go through the Word of God through the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want to look here at these verses, and I want to preach a sermon entitled Losing Your Focus. And so, like any sermon, should have a theme. The theme of today's sermon is, what happens when you lose your focus on God's truth? That's what we want to answer. What happens when you lose your focus on the truth of God? The word focus means this. There's one meaning or some definition of the word focus. It means a center of interest, or the center of an activity, the focal point, the central point, the center of attention, the hub, the heart, or the cornerstone. And when I looked that word up, it really kind of convicted me, to be honest with you, because I asked myself this question: is God's word, is God's truth, is it the focus of my life? Is it the cornerstone? You know, when I live my life, can I honestly describe my life and that the Word of God is the cornerstone, that it's the central focus point, and that the hub of my life? You know, and I'll be honest with you, it's not always true of me. You know, we always say, well, I love God's Word, I love His truth, but here's the question: is it your focus? Is it the cornerstone? Is it the center of attention? That's a good way of describing it. Today, when I say, what's the Word of God to you in your life, would you say it's the center of attention? I mean, I'll be honest with you, that right there convicts me. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want us to together discover whether we've lost our focus on God's truth in our lives. You know, and you know what? I would say one thing what's frustrating to me, and a pastor, is not the ones of you who have lost your focus, which does frustrate me, and it frustrates me when I do that as well. But what really frustrates me is the people who have lost their focus on God's truth, but don't recognize it. There are so many times, including myself, there's so many times that, or so many believers who have lost their focus on God's word in their life, yet they don't think they have. And that right there is very frustrating to deal with, and very frustrating to deal with in my own life. And so I want to look this morning at losing your focus. What happens when you lose your focus on God's truth? Well, once again, the context is everything. And if you listen to me for the last few weeks, you'll know that the context in chapter 15 in particular, Paul is dealing with a false belief, okay? Now, the overall context of 1 Corinthians is Paul's writing a letter to correct this Corinth church of multiple problems. And the problem that he's dealing with in chapter 15 is the fact that some of the believers in the church are denying the resurrection of saints, okay? And so and obviously, it was because of false teachers. So, last week, Paul digressed from the resurrection of the saints to talk about Christ. Now, in these verses, verse 29 through 34, Paul is going to return to the main track of resuming his direct argument about the resurrection of saints. And now what he's going to do, he's going to reveal to us some practical implication, some practical conclusion or result that happened when they denied the resurrection of the saints. And so in doing that, what Paul does, and he reveals to us what happened when the Corinth people got their eyes off the Word of God. And in doing that, it shows us, it'll show us three things this morning that will happen to us if we lose our focus on the Word of God. So let's read these verses. Look at verse 29 if you have your Bible. And it says, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? And if the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized of the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by the rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? You see the theme there of the dead rising, okay, the resurrection of the dead saints. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Verse 33, he said, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt its good manner. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some of you have not knowledge of God, I speak this to your shame. Let's pray. Father, I do ask you this morning, after listening to this sermon, or whether it's Saturday, or that you will use the Word of God, that you will use the preaching of it, use my feeble attempts to explain the Word to apply the Word of God to our lives. I want to ask you to take it and use it, and help us to grow and to learn, and in particular today, to show us if we've lost our focus. And Father, I ask you to be with us today in Christ's name. Amen. The first thing here is that, the first thing I want to point out here is if you have lost your focus on God's truth, number one, if you can write this down, it will challenge your purpose. It will challenge your purpose. You say, what do you mean? Well, what I mean by that is that we have a purpose in life because we're a believer. But anytime we get our focus off the Word of God and the truths, then our focus becomes challenged. Have you ever said something like this? I just don't know what life is about. I don't know, is life really about living for God? That's the type of question that we get challenged on when we catch ourselves drifting from the Word of God. And so I want to point out two things here in verse 29. The first thing here is the reference. See, if you look here in verse 29, Paul referenced the baptism of the dead, okay? And he does it in a form of a rhetorical question. Look at verse 29 again, and this is what it says. First question is, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Question number one. So we see there, it says the resurrection of the dead. Then it says, why are they being baptized for the dead? So, we have a problem. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not going to try to sidestep it. In verse 29, this is one of the most difficult verses to understand. Okay? This is what one guy said, okay? And bear with my quotes, okay? Some of y'all love them, and I know some of y'all hate them, but bear with me. The greatest difficulty with this verse is that there's no biblical reference to anything like a baptism for the dead. Explanations for this verse are very and none are convincing. Well, that's just great. I'm going to tell you, that is not what you want to read if you're a preacher trying to study for a sermon. That they don't know what it means, and there's 100 different interpretations, okay, or assumptions. This is what Robert Pickering really said. He said, its meaning is obscure for the simple reason that we know nothing about the practice Paul uses for an illustration. So in other words, when it says the baptism of the dead, we have no clue what it's really talking about, okay? But that's not stopping people from trying to explain it. Now, I'm going to give you a few things here. I'll give you what I think, and I'll also kind of give you a few other ideals. But the best guess is that it was an actual practice that was not biblical. Which, by the way, wouldn't be a surprise because if you've been following along, 1 Corinthians didn't do a lot of things biblical. They did a lot of things the wrong way. So there's no doubt in my mind it could have very easily been the case that they had took on some pagan practice of baptizing for the dead. Get what Robert Pickering really said. The best thing I could do is suggest that Paul is referring to a practice that he would not approve of, okay? In other words, what they're both saying here is that most likely Paul is referencing a practice that they did that was not something that should be a part of the church. Now, for whatever reason, Paul didn't condone it or condemn it, but he uses it to make a point, okay? We'll get that here in just a minute. Now, I will say this, Warren Winfield is a very trusted scholar, and as well as John MacArthur both said that it was more of a statement to evangelism, that what he meant was when people were baptized, and when people who were baptized because of people who had witnessed to them, who are now have died, okay? Now, I believe that's kind of stretching it, but hey, you know, they're a lot smarter than I am, so. But anyway, but now here's the thing, that's the reference, okay? I want you to understand that. Now, here's what really we have to ask ourselves. What was the reason for this? What's the reason? What was Paul's reasoning for bringing up the baptism of the dead? Here's the answer. Here's my answer. To show that there's no purpose in it. Okay, now follow me. You have to put your thinking caps on right now, okay? Because right now we're in a more of a teaching mode than a preaching mode right now. So stay with me. Now think about it. They denied the resurrection of the dead. Yet, they were baptizing to the dead. And what Paul is saying here is that, well, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the saints, then why in the world are you baptizing in the name of the dead? There's no purpose in it. Also, obviously Warren Wimpy goes in a different direction, but he said this concerning this verse. If there is no resurrection, why are others witnessing and winning others to Christ? In other words, he said if there's no resurrection of the saints, then there's no purpose to witness. John MacArthur said this. Paul's point is that there is no resurrection and no life after death, then why are people coming to Christ to the flood, the hope of those who have died? In other words, what my author is saying is Paul's making a point that there's no purpose. If there's no resurrection of the saints, then there's no purpose in what you're doing in verse 29. See, we don't know much about this reference, but we do see the reason. And what Paul is saying here, or one of the things that he is getting across, is that if there is no resurrection of the saint, which that's what you're saying, or that's what they were denying, he's saying, then there's no purpose in baptizing to the dead. There is no purpose in it. You know, I thought about that. That's so true for us. In my own life, I don't interpret the truth in a lot of my own life, but even in my own life, the time when I am not focused on the Word of God, when I'm not reading my Bible, when I'm not praying, when I'm not practicing the Word of God, then this little thing creeps into my mind, and I say things like this: what's the purpose of life? It's just empty. It's just miserable. And that's exactly what happens when you are not focused on the truth. See, that's exactly what happened here. These Corinthians allow false teachers to get them away from the truth. And when they got away from the truth, the things they were doing had no purpose. And the same is true of us. When you backslide, or even before you're saved, you know that there is no purpose in life. That's what happens when you lose your focus on God's truth. Hey, here's Solomon testified of this. Remember Solomon? Remember how wise he was? What did he say? He said, when he lost his focus on God, when he said that everything has no, and life has no purpose. Life is not, everything is vanity and vexation and empty. That's exactly how mean you'll feel. And that was exactly what all challenged for your purpose. We'll be challenged on what's the purpose in life when we get our focus off the Word of God. And that's exactly what Solomon did. And what did Solomon say after he regained his focus? He said this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandment. For this is the whole duty of God. So what I want to challenge you this morning is that today, if you feel like life has no purpose, and it's a great time while we're being quarantined and all this, and everybody's losing hope. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. If not getting to go shopping and not getting to go out to eat, you lost hope, then you didn't have much hope anyway. See, you and me as Christians, we should be, in a perfect world, we should be fine. Because our hope shouldn't be in going out to eat. Our hope shouldn't be in going on vacation. Our hope shouldn't be in getting to go to work. Our hope shouldn't be in making money. Our hope shouldn't be in doing whatever. Our hope shouldn't be in our freedom. See, everybody's all riled up about losing freedom, and I'm with you. But last time I checked, our God is not freedom. Our God is Jehovah God. And last time I checked, no one's taking that away from us. That's the purpose of life, is to serve God. But what happens is when you stop focusing on the Word of God, when you stop focusing on the truth, then your purpose will be challenged. And here's the day. If you feel like you don't have any purpose in life and you're a believer, I would say this. On focusing on the Word of God, I would say that maybe you've lost your focus. That's one way you can know. Number two, when you lose your focus, it will challenge your purpose. But secondly, it will change your philosophy. Oh, man. When believers quit walking with God and they stray away from God, they're not focused on the truth, their philosophy always changes. Let's look here at verse 30 and 31. It says this, I protest. Well, let's read verse 30. Let me go back to verse 30, excuse me. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Verse 32, and after the manner of men, I fought with the beasts of Ephesus. What advantage is me if the dead rise not? Okay? So, here's what I want you to understand. Is that when you get your eyes off of Jesus, your philosophy will change. See, a person who is focused on God and His truth will have a God-servant philosophy. That's the letter A, by the way. That's the first thing you write down. A God-servant philosophy. So, what do you mean by that? I mean that if you're walking with God like you're supposed to, you're going to have a philosophy of life of this. I am God's servant. You're going to have a philosophy that understands the price that Christ paid, and that you're going to serve Him at any cost, even death. Now, that is very foreign to Americans Christian, which I say this all the time. American Christianity is seldom biblical Christianity, okay? But somebody who focuses on the Word of God and focuses on God's truth will have the philosophy that I'm here to serve God even to the death. It goes with what Jesus said, take up your cross, okay? But you say, where do you get that at? Look at verse 30. He gives a question. He said, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Well, Paul, obviously that the word we is a plural pronoun. I'm not real good at English, but we mean it includes Paul. And what Paul is saying is that if there's no resurrection, then why in the world am I jeopardizing my life? Verse 31, it says, I die daily. Now, don't get that confused with in Romans 6. When he said, I die daily, get what Warren Wimsey said. He said, I die daily does not refer to dying to self, as in Romans 6, but to a physical danger that Paul faced as a servant of Christ. So when he said to him, he said, every day that I get up, I live for God. I am putting my life in harm's way. I wonder today how many of us would still claim the name of Christ if you were going to lose your life. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I'm here to serve God no matter the cost. Look at verse 32. It says here, I have fought the wild beasts of Ephesus. Most likely, that's referring to a mob of people who tried to kill him. My point I'm trying to make, though, and that Paul was a man who was focused on God's truth. And what type of philosophy did he have? He had a philosophy that said, I'm here to serve God. I'm here to serve God at no matter the cost. Okay? And that is exactly the attitude you will have, or the philosophy that you'll have, if you are focused on God's truth. Now, let's look at the flip side. When you lose your focus on God and His truth, you can go from having a God-servant philosophy to having a self-serving philosophy. That's letter B, the self-serving philosophy. You say, what do you mean? Well, what happens, it happens to you, it's happened to me. Anytime we stop focusing on the Word of God, when we start focusing on ourselves, and all of a sudden, we start serving ourselves. You know, and that's exactly what happened. They were not focused on the Word of God. And this is the conclusion that Paul said. This is the automatic conclusion. He said in verse 30. He said, why stand in jeopardy? He said, if what you're saying is true, there's no resurrection of the dead, then there's no sense in risking my life to die. It's all about me. He said in verse 32, look what it said. He said, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What he's saying, if you're not going to focus on the truth of God, he said, if you're going to believe a lie about the resurrection, then you might as well just have fun for today. Then he said this, and they have no thought for tomorrow. Well, does that not describe America? Does that not describe a lot of Christians? It's all about them. See what Robert Peake really said. I really liked it. He said, denial of the resurrection leads to the philosophy of eat, drink, and tomorrow we die. See, all these statements are a philosophy of this, self-serving. See, Paul basically said this. Paul said, now, you're saying that the resurrection is not true. And if that's really real, then the logical conclusion is to live for yourself. And that's exactly, today, I want you to hear me, that's exactly what will happen when you are not focused on the Word of God. You will live for self. It'll come all about you. I had a professor one time, and he said this, when I keep myself wanting more and more things, and usually a sign that I've not been walking with God. You know what he was saying? When everything becomes about me, it's a sign that I'm not walking with God. Here's the thing. Today, if everything's about you, and you're concerned about serving yourself rather than God, then what's happened is that you are not focused on the truth. You've lost your focus. See, and so that's the thing. Here's the thing. Christians who are walking with God will have I am God's servant philosophy. Christians who are not walking with God and who are not focused on the truth will have a self-serving philosophy. It'll go from I'm a servant of God to I'm going to live my best life now. Uh-oh. You hear that all the time now. I'm going to live my best life now. What you're saying is I'm here to serve myself. And that philosophy is creeping up into most Christian books, into Christian churches, this philosophy of my life is about me. But I'm telling you today, that's not biblical. And that's what happens. If you catch yourself living for yourself, it's always about the next big thing, and all about what you can do, what you can have, what I can. I mean, everybody's whining about this quarantine, it's about to get on my nerves, to be honest with you. Everybody's being so dramatic about it on Facebook. I just can't take it anymore. Really? Relax. But why is that? Because we're all about ourselves. We're all about ourselves. I can't do this. I can't do that. Wah, wah, wah. And I've been there too. I haven't put it on Facebook, but I have lied to my wife a good bit. You know? What does that tell me? It's all about me. And that's a sign that you're not walking with God. That's a sign that you've lost your focus, that you have forgotten what life is about. What life is about is about being a servant of God to the death. When you lose your focus on God's truth, it will challenge your purpose. You start asking, what's life about? That's because you've got away from the truth. Number two, it will change your philosophy. You'll say, it's not about God, it's about me. But then number three, it will corrupt your practices. It will corrupt your practices. Look at verse 33. That's exactly what they've been. They've gotten away from God. They've started following false doctrine. And look what happened in verse 33. Paul, in verse 33, he gives us a reminder. Look at verse 33. He said, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. So he gave a reminder. He said, do not be deceived. The word communication there is the idea of an associate. The idea of the word manner means conduct. So basically, what he's saying. He said, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits. Basically what happened, they quit walking with God and started walking with false teachers. And he said this, when that happens, it's going to corrupt your life. That's the thing. And so here's one of the results. What happens when you become deceived and don't walk with God? Look at verse 34. See the results. And it said this, awake to righteousness and sin not. He said, what are the results of being deceived? What are the results of not walking with God? What's the result of losing your focus? I'll tell you what the results are. Sin. Corrupt practices. And that's what we see in verse 34. Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not. Apparently, some of these Corinthians were already being infected by the philosophy of moral carelessness. You'll have to forgive me for quoting Robert Piccirilli again, but he had a lot of good things to say on these verses. This is what he said. Denial of the resurrection leads to the philosophy, eat, drink, and tomorrow we die. I've already read that. And that kind of philosophy produces a moral carelessness on the part of those who hold it. So in other words, I'll simplify it. When you adopt the philosophy that it's all about myself and yourself, then the next thing is it's going to be acted upon. You know, I think I wrote down, I had to find it here. I've lost my place. Not really, I can't find it. See, something in the nature of how you think is how you behave. Something like that. I read that. I don't think I put it in my notes, but I read that thing. How you think and what you believe, not maybe what you believe, is how you behave. So right now, if you've got away from God and you believe that life is about you and that's your philosophy, then that's how you're going to behave. And the problem with that is that it's going to be sin. You know why? Because your flesh wants to sin. Your human body, if you say life is about me, then it's always going to result in sin because that's what your body wants to do. And that's the thing. And you know, you've seen people, and maybe even yourself, who go off the deep end, who get away from God, and what happens? They have corrupt, sinful practices. I mean, here's the bottom line. It's not because they left church. It's because they adopted a philosophy. It's because they drifted. They quit focusing on the Word of God. They adopted a philosophy. They said, I don't know what life is about. So then they come up with a new philosophy, and it comes to this, I'm going to live for myself. And when that philosophy takes hold, it corrupts their life. It corrupts their practices. It's just a progression. And no matter what, it can be under a different name, but that's what it always comes down to. And the same is true of you. If you have corrupt, sinful practices in your life, it is because you're not focused on God's truth. And you have lost your focus. Best way to explain it is this. Sin, or the old saying, sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. And that's all I'm really saying. And again, when you get away from God, it's going to corrupt your practices. You're going to be no longer renewing your mind. You're no longer be hiding the words of my heart that I might not sin against thee. You're going to be away from God. You're not going to be focused on His truth. And when you're not focused on His truth, you're going to live in sin. That's what happens. So this morning, if you're not where you need to be, if you have sinfulness in your life, it may be because, there's a good chance that it is because you've lost your focus. See, what happens in life is we quit walking with God. We've all been there. Like we ought to. We're not focused on learning and knowing and obeying God's truth in our lives. They take a back seat. Then what happens when we get away from God, then we start having an empty void in our life. Even as a Christian. Because there's only one thing you can feel a certain spot, and that's a walk with God and relationship with God. And even as a Christian, you can have an unhealthy relationship. So because of an unhealthy relationship, you have a void in your life. And you start asking, what's the purpose in life? And you start challenging your purpose. You know deep down your purpose is to serve God. But because you're walking away from God, because you're not focused on His truth, because you're not being reminded, I need to be reminded sometimes of that. That I wake up some days, I need to be reminded that this life is about God. And it's about living for Him. But you're not doing that because you're not focused on God's truth. And your purpose gets challenged. And you start saying, what is the meaning of life? So you start searching in the wrong places. And no matter where you search, in other religion or humanism, basically what it's going to come down to is this: don't serve God, serve yourself. And so you adopt a new philosophy. Your philosophy changes. And you say, I'm not going to live for God, I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to find my new life. I'm going to find my identity. I'm going to find the real me. All that garbage that you hear. My true happiness awaits for me. And then you start trying, because of this new philosophy, then you open up to doing anything. And when that happens, you have corrupt practices. And the sad thing about that, we know what James tells us, I want my sin coming to death. And then you destroy your home, you can even destroy your marriage, you can destroy your relationship, you might even destroy your work, you can destroy your own joy and happiness, because sin kills everything it touches. And when you live if you live with a philosophy, I'm going to live for myself, you are going to make mistakes. And you are going to sin. And so, let me ask you this morning, have you lost your focus on God's truth? Three ways to know. I'm going to do it in question form. Number one, are you questioning the purpose of life? If you're questioning the purpose of life, then it may be because you've gotten away from God's truth. Let me ask you something. Is your philosophy changing? Has it crept in your life? Hey, it happens to me. Have you went from saying, I'm a servant of God, to saying, I serve myself? If that's where you're at right now, I have a good chance that you've lost your focus on God's truth. And then thirdly, let me ask you, are you corrupt? And you got some corrupt practices in your life right now that you know you shouldn't? Why is that? Maybe it's probably because you've lost your focus on God's truth. You say, what am I to do? What am I to do? Well, look here at that verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Here it is. Ready? Repent and return to God. That's what the prodigal son did. I can't stand when people say, the message of the prodigal son, just come home. I love you. No. Repent and come home. You see that the prodigal son repented by himself, and he repented when he went to the Father. Same thing with God. God wants you to repent. Repent and return. Let me ask you, do you need to repent and return today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. Thank you that we can get your word out and be taught and still be nourished by it. Lord, thank you for the people who's working behind the scene to make this possible. And Lord, I do ask you to continue just to be with our church, to be with all churches and every believer during these times. I ask you to continue just to help us to stay strong and to continue to serve you. And Lord, help us. And during a time like this, it would be very easy to lose our focus on your word and your truth. Help us not do that. Lord, if you've convicted us or someone about the fact that they're not where they need to be, if they have not had to focus on you, I ask you to help them to repent and to return. And I ask you to continue to be with us in Christ's name. Amen.